Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's January 30th, 2013. Reading from James chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. We're going to talk a little about that today because we will be remembering the life and the ministry work that a dear listener, a dear friend of this radio ministry, a dear friend to me, Brenda Weisgarver, married to Roger, who worked with this radio ministry and served us for a number of years. He sings with the Singing Men of GNN. Well, tonight at 6 p.m., 6 to 8 p.m., there's going to be a special visitation as Brenda went to be with the Lord. So part of our hearts grieve and wail and hurt, and yet the fact that we know she's in the presence of Almighty God, she is healed, she is at this point probably worshiping and learning and embraced by His love and His care and His compassion. But the great loss for Roger and all of us that knew Brenda, she loved the Lord, she followed Him faithfully, she finished well, though very suddenly, according to our timeline and our timetable, she stopped breathing Saturday morning and suddenly was ushered into the presence of God. So maybe, Jason, we can talk a little about, though we may grieve and wail and have heartache because of the ultimate character of God and the eternal destiny that He's laid out and desires for all of us, there is those points where we can be blessed and comforted in that mourning.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, when we talk about loss, and there's a fascinating, we're talking about this today because there's a family in our church who suffered a loss, and I sat with them for a number of hours last night just discussing what that means. You know, as they said goodbye to Mom, who at 91 years old went to go be with Jesus and was faithful servant with Jesus for all of those 91 years and so prevalent in the lineage that was left. I mean, I just marveled with this family, and I said, do you realize as you're telling me about your family that great-grandfather and grandmother and mother and now you, father, and your sons and their sons, everybody loves Jesus. And so what a great lineage of how you guys came into the presence of God as a family, and how as this mother who has passed now was an integral part of carrying and passing on the gospel, doing really what the Apostle Paul did as he traveled all over those different countries planting churches. Well, this individual mom was planting churches inside the hearts of her own kids and her grandkids and their kids. And so just what a power that was. But you know, we have a skewed perception because we look at and we look at what's happening here and we think that this is all there is, or we think that this is a big chunk of what there is. And some of us would even look at our lives and look at where we live and look at what's happening and have this human perspective that this is good. And whenever somebody passes away, I'm always reminded that I don't believe that they pass into God's presence and they enter into the kingdom of God, into heaven, and they go, I want to go back. You know what I mean? I think that they go, wow, I'm whole again. I mean, I can't imagine where living in the presence and living in a place where there is no dissension, there is no unforgiveness, there is no hatred, there is no quarrel, there is no anxiety, there are none of these things. There is no affliction, there is none of that. And that we exist in a perfect glorified state. I mean, I can't, and we enter, I mean, right away, look, I can't sing at all. I'm a horrible singer. If I start singing in church, people break out into revival. And when I sing next to my wife, she'll pinch me sometimes if I'm singing too loud because it's horrible. I mean, I'm off key sometimes. I'm just worshiping, but, you know, it's just not good.
A joyful noise.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but when you get into the kingdom of God, that's reconciled, and you're asked to join the heavenly hosts who proclaim and sing God's glory. So right away, those of us who are horrible singers get to join the choir, and we actually sound pretty darn good. But I think we get so tied here that we forget that nobody who passes that way. I mean, you know, Roger's wife, she's not going, I want to go back. I think what she maybe is doing, and I don't know because I can't qualify what heaven is like. I mean, I can read the scriptures, but I'm telling you what, any of us who try and define what heaven's like is going to have our mind blown when we get there. Yeah. I think that now she's just going, I can't wait till when I see Roger again. And when I see all the friends and family that I had, all the first family, my church family, those people who were following Jesus with me and loving Jesus with me, and those people who maybe I was even working on sharing the gospel with, who now God has moved somebody else in there to take up arms and to share the gospel with them, to complete the work that she had begun. But I just can't imagine that she's going, I want to go back. I think she's going, I can't wait to see the rest as they come. And you know, it's fascinating because I'll read like the end of Colossians. And the end of Colossians where it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I think when we don't know what we ought to do, Scripture teaches us that we ought to pray. And when we lose somebody, when there is that hole in our life and we don't know what to do, then we ought to pray because the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And really, the Holy Spirit in this moment for Roger and for Brenda, the Holy Spirit is almost like the bridge between the two. The Holy Spirit is speaking to Roger, and yet the Holy Spirit is with Brenda. Brenda's in the presence of the Holy Spirit there too, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit all together there. And so there's Holy Spirit is almost like still the connection there. He's like the phone line, you know, and they can talk. So you don't know what you should do, and let's be honest, when somebody leaves us, there's this huge hole in our life. And we go, why, God, why? And we miss them. You know, and one of the things, again, a takeaway from last night sitting with this family is, you know, somebody said, if I just had one more chance to talk to him. And you know what? We could say that about everything. If I just had one more chance, and I guarantee you, friend, that if you say, I wish I had one more chance, when you get that chance, or if you got that chance, you'd say, I wish I had one more additional chance, one more time. You know, and then people suddenly have to become eternal here and not there because we keep wanting to have more time. And you know what? For me, when somebody passes, it's a reminder of the power of the gospel, especially when I know that they were faithful and I know that Jesus came and he got them. It's a reminder that we need to take up arms with the gospel and share the gospel so that when we get up there, we don't go, it's kind of empty up here. You know, we get up there and we go, man, they're all here. Look at them all. I mean, and what a great reunion that is when we get there. But, you know, he says in Colossians, devote yourself to prayer. So we don't know what we should do because we have this big hole in our life and we got to pray. Because the Holy Spirit is there still linking and connecting us. And the Holy Spirit's reminding us in our heart about the power and the beauty of this person. And you know what? As long as we remember them in our hearts, they don't truly die. They don't truly pass away. That's why I always encourage when I go and I sit with a family who's lost somebody, let's tell stories. Because stories keep people alive. People don't pass away. People only pass away when you forget to talk about their life. But then Paul goes on to say, he says, pray for us too, that there'll be an open door for the message. And shouldn't we do that? Pray to God now. God, this person has passed, and thank you so much for your faithfulness that you came and you redeemed them and you glorified them and you brought them into your presence as you promised you would. But now pray that I'll have the words to be able to go out and continue that work. And then he says this, which I find fascinating. He says, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And for many of us, the gospel is a mystery. For many of us, how people get saved, how people move into a relationship with Jesus. Look, even as a pastor, I'll say it. It's a mystery. You know, somebody who's so far left, so far out of the park, suddenly hears the words of Jesus or the gospel or something like that, and they move towards Christ. And I may have been working on this person for a long time, but you know what? It is inexplicable. It's a mystery to me sometimes how God moves people and how God releases people. It's a mystery to me how God took the Apostle Paul, the worst of the worst, killer of Christians, and turned him into the most powerful, dominant voice of Christianity. That the Holy Spirit then spoke to him and gave us largely what we know in terms of how to practice following God. That's a mystery to me. But you know what? I want to say this. That's not a mystery now to Brenda. It's not a mystery to her. Who Jesus is and how he works and what he does is not a mystery. It's a mystery on this side of Eden. It's a mystery on this side. But when you pass over, it's no longer a mystery. It's an amazing revelation of how God... I mean, can you imagine you get over and you go, that's how it works. Oh, wow. I never even realized. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that immeasurably more than I can know and imagine. That was true, because this is more than I could imagine. But it's no longer a mystery. And for some of us, we're spending so much time trying to figure out what the mystery is that we don't live within the tension of the mystery. Say it's okay and then carry out the work that God has called us to do. And we do that in terms of people passing away. We begin to ask why. Why, God? Why did they leave? God, why am I alone now? God, why has this happened? Instead of embracing the mystery of, I don't know why it happened, and I don't know why Jesus comes and takes people in the prime of their life. I don't know why Jesus comes and takes people when they've just begun their life. And I don't know why some other people live to be 90 or 91 or 70, and then Jesus comes and carries them home. I don't understand. It's a mystery to me. And when I see a new baby and they pass away, it's a mystery to me why they do that. I don't understand. And oftentimes I ask God questions about it. God, was that even right? Was it fair? At the beginning of their life. Or, you know, if a family loses a mother. God, explain to me how I'm to understand kids who no longer have a mom and they're grieving and wailing, as Mark said when he opened up with that passage from James. How am I to understand that? And how am I then to understand that there's to be joy in that? And yet, it's a mystery. And I don't have to have the answer. Because a passage that Mark opened from James is not about having the answer. It's about submitting to the fact that God is king. And that God comes and he seeks and he saves his people and he ushers them home. And that in that there is joy. You know, when we experience just joy, we sometimes get a little haughty and we get a little elevated. And God says, wait a second, it might be better for you to mourn right now. You know, I do funerals, and I'm going to tell you what, you know, you go to do a wedding and it's a celebration and you've got Bridezilla there and you can't do anything. I mean, you know, as a pastor, your hands are kind of chained, you know, read it this way, do it this way. And you love it because you're starting a life off and you're doing that. And it's a great thing to be a part of. But I'm going to tell you what, when I do funerals, it is ripe soil. You walk in and you can just start throwing seed on the ground and it's being gobbled up by the soil because people in that moment realize their mortality. They realize that this might be the last day. They realize that they might not go where they should. They realize that their eternality suddenly has a greater weight. And they're ripe to hear the gospel. And that's why God says, maybe you would need to go to a house of mourning. Ecclesiastes says that. It's better to go into a house of mourning. You know why? Because when you go into a house of mourning, you are ripe to hear the gospel. And also, I would say this, you're also ripe to live in that place of tension, of mystery, and be okay, to not define it. There's not anybody in a funeral who's going, I have to know, I have to know, I have to know. You know what they're saying? Help me to know. They're not trying to define it on their own. They're trying to help me to know. And that's when you're throwing down seed and you say, let me tell you about Jesus. And you know what? Jesus has an intimate connection to when we suffer loss too. And we can't forget that. I mean, one of the most famous passages that we find in John when Lazarus dies. You know, Jesus is a good friend of Jesus passes away. You know, and it says when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He said. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then it says succinctly, and Jesus wept. You know, it's okay to weep. It's okay when we experience that hole in our life to be deeply moved and to weep. Jesus in his humanity did it. Jesus in that place where he didn't know maybe what else to do in that moment. He wept. He wept because that's what we do. What a fascinating connection between the divinity of God and the humanity of Jesus. Right there, that Jesus wept just as we do. But then what happens? It says Jesus once more was deeply moved and he came to the tomb. And he says, take away the stone. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? And then Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus rises and he comes out. Jesus, in the moment of humanity, weeps and is deeply moved and doesn't, you know, he goes, oh my gosh, I know how they feel. He enters into a house of mourning. And then what does he do right after that? The same things that James says. Watch what God's going to do next. Because Lazarus rises and he walks out. And you know what? As long as I would say this, as long as the Weisgarvers hold on to the stories of Brenda and what Brenda has done and who she was, and as long as the community of people, yourself included, Mark, do that, She continually rises and continually comes out until we see her again. And you know what? That's enough, because that'll bring us great joy. I tell you what, I walked in last night to that house, and it was a house of mourning. It was somber faces. It was hard. And about halfway through, we were laughing and we were joking, and the joy of the Lord was evident and present because we were willing to mourn.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if your words are a message for me, because I've shed some tears over the whole situation, but I'm sure many of our listeners are also identifying with what you're sharing and communicating. In fact, I wrote down three things: prayers, words, and song. And the prayers, what was that portion out of Colossians? Can you read that again?
Sure. It's further instructions in chapter 4. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ.
And I'm just thinking the importance of prayer during the time of loss, just that intimacy with God, even sharing with God the whys or the misunderstanding. But again, thank you that God's character is true and perfect, and we can rest in Him. And then I put words. You and Stu did this kind of to me, but I'm thinking as a point of application, don't wait till a memorial service to share those positive words, those affirming words, those praises. Don't wait until that person has passed away to tell them what you appreciate about them and how moving that was for me a week or so back when you disclosed things that usually something like that would be said at a funeral or a memorial service. So I'm just thinking for those of you that maybe have some unfinished business, we all do. We need to encourage people, but there might be somebody that even today you're thinking, you know, I need to tell them how their testimony, their life, their unique ways of working in our family or whatever has blessed you. So let them know. And then the song that came to mind, and this happened before the Singing Men rehearsal, when I was thinking about sharing and updating with the guys, because I just talked to Roger earlier that day, there was a song and it recounts some of the story of Jesus weeping. And they said in the song that he was weeping because he knew he had to bring Lazarus back to this earth and bring him away from that glory experience. That, yeah. And it was a unique way of looking at it, you know, as a song can do that. Jesus, though I think in his humanity, he was grieving over the loss of death, of what sin has brought to this world, but also the fact that he's taken him from the glory situation environment he is with God the Father and bringing him back to earth. And probably Lazarus was saying, don't leave me where I'm at. I like in the presence of God. And just kind of a unique way, even now as Brenda's in the presence of God, or those of us that have lost loved ones, know that they're in a better state. Even though we grieve that loss, we can remember them and think about them. And it's just kind of an interesting song. I'd never heard that before, and I barely could get through just updating the guys on the legacy that Brenda has left and how supportive she was throughout her life and marriage to Roger and all that Roger has gone through. And I just kind of marveled at what a unique, beautiful relationship that modeled Christ to a hurting world, and just how stellar, literally stellar, Roger has been through all this, through all of his Guillain-Barré syndrome, all of his working through handicap and rehabilitation, and even still now being in a wheelchair. And I'll tell you one little story. As we were singing on Saturday at the women's prison in Decatur, Roger would have been with us, but Brenda went home to be with the Lord earlier that day, and obviously Roger was attending to various things. But on the phone call, as Roger called me again prior to us getting to Decatur, he said, hey, let the guys know I will be praying for them and praying that their ministry work in these women's lives will go out, will be effective. And I mean, that's the character of Roger, just to, again, even in the midst of this huge loss, he was still thinking about others. And Roger has just been stellar, even through this process of grieving and the arrangements. And tonight, for those of you tuned in or maybe just tuning in, Brenda Weisgarver went to be with the Lord Saturday morning. And tonight there's going to be a special memorial service from 6 to 8 p.m. at the First Christian Church of Monticello. And that's located at 1699 North State Street in Monticello. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. So whether you're here in the morning edition of Mark and Friends or when this re-airs, there's still time to head over to the First Christian Church of Monticello. But Roger, as you know, we've had him on the air a number of times talking about how God has taken him through this Guillain-Barré syndrome for the last 3 years, and he's still recovering and healing and seeking God to bring about full restoration of health. But he's still in a wheelchair and still navigating through all that, but we just appreciate Roger and know that Brenda is in the very presence of the Lord. But thank you, Jason, for your words and your insights. And I think
and I want to share a practical application. So what time is the visitation?
6 to 8 p.m. tonight.
Okay, so 6 to 8 p.m. This is what you can do, and I've seen this done at a number. Whenever I do a funeral, I try and do this. I think it's life-giving to those who are experiencing loss. And it's very easy to do. Each one of you who knew Brenda or each one of you who know Roger, get a little index card, a 3x5 index card, and just write down a memory. Write down a little story. Write down a little something that pertains to Roger and Brenda, a memory that you have. And maybe it's a memory, like Mark had said, that kind of slipped away, maybe from Roger, and he's not remembering that. And let tonight be a night where you go and you mourn and you weep with him, but also you share a memory. You know, I've been to places where, you know, they have a basket and there'll be 100 or 200 of these index cards in there. And people have told me afterwards that they needed those memories so much because they had forgotten. One of the greatest travesties when we lose somebody is that we forget them. And we forget them because we didn't keep the stories alive. So everybody get an index card. And when you go to honor Brenda and mourn with Roger, bring a story with you and give it to Roger and say, I just wanted you to remember how God has had me remember you and Brenda.
You know, the Jewish people have a great practice of always remembering. And that's one of the ways they keep the spirit of that person alive. And I think we can learn from their example. And look at the Bible, the recorded scriptures, the accounts of how God worked personally and individually in so many lives. It's his love letter. It's his account of how he's been faithful and how we can learn from the examples of the prophets and the people of old and the people that lived with and saw and were healed by Jesus. And that would be our prayer for you today, that maybe you're struggling through a great loss and maybe there's some misunderstanding or uncertainty or whys that are still unresolved. We serve a great God who does have the answer, who has your best interest in mind, and there's all eternity to kind of figure that out with him as you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, as you ask him into your heart. God will bring about healing and restoration and hope, and we do have that eternal glory, those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to look forward to. Not to minimize the pain or the suffering or the heartache or the loss, but we serve a great God that will take care of all things, and he'll make sense of it eventually. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Well, thank you, Pastor Jason. Thank you for your great, wise words, your caring pastoral heart, and just the ways you're certainly working in my life. And I would say there are some of you that would attest to that, that he shared God's message and heart to all of us this morning. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.